the 7 secrets for resolving personal workplace conflict. Well, secret number one is you want to keep your focus on what you can control. You have to realize that there's a difference between what you control and what you influence. There's a difference between what you control, influence, and everything else that's outside your circles of control and influence. So if you could imagine that control is a circle. There's a circle of things in your life you can control that really is comprised of your words, your actions, your reactions and responses. Right outside that circle is another circle, is the circle of influence. The circle of influence will be made up of all the people and events that you can influence by your actions, your word choices, your reactions and responses. And then beyond your circle of influence is that big world of everything else that you can neither control nor influence. The idea here for successful conflict resolution, I have to keep my focus on what I can control. You have to keep your focus on what you can control. And we have to be careful that we don't slip into trying to control other people's words, actions, and responses. That's only going to escalate the conflict. So what I mean by that is that you can adjust your behaviors to exert influence on others. And you have to resist the urge when you get into a conflict situation and your emotions get invested. You have to resist the urge to try fixing their emotions, or really fixing your emotions. You know, fix your behaviors, not your emotions. Your emotions are how you feel. It's how you respond to what you see. You might change reframe or readjust your perception or interpretation, and that might fix your emotion, but you don't really directly control emotion. It's a secondary control. You can address your emotions through your behaviors and your thoughts, but don't try to fix your emotions. Neither do you try to fix the other person's emotions, because as soon as you try to fix their emotions, you start to subtly imply that their emotions are somehow broken, and you're not validating that they have a legitimate emotional reaction to a situation. So don't try to fix their emotions. Don't try to get them to like you. While liking is a good outcome, it's a good preference, that's not really the goal. So I want to distinguish between my preference that I get to a place where we like each other versus a goal that we like each other. The goal is to come up with behaviors and interactions we can both live with. If we fix those, we'll probably like each other. So it's a side benefit. And try not to avoid the temptation to try to get them to calm down. So you see them start to get upset or agitated during the conflict conversation, and you say something like, well, now just calm down, or you don't need to be so angry, or something along those lines. Not very effective, not very helpful, tends to irritate people and escalate the conflict, actually. So I've just said something that implies we're going to talk with the person if we want to resolve the conflict. And so let me move that stronger than just an implication. It's actually a prerequisite for successful conflict resolution. We're going to have a face-to-face conversation. A lot of reasons for that. Go into that more in detail in the 5 D's for a successful conflict resolution. But suffice it to say that in order to resolve a conflict with a person, you really need to have a face-to-face conversation with them. And so when you have that conversation, you want to be focusing on what you can control, focusing on your words, your actions, your tone, your body language, so that you're doing everything you can to move towards resolution. And you're focusing, you may be trying to understand their perspective. You're not focusing on their behavior so much. You're focusing on your own and controlling what you can control to bring this to resolution. And the idea here is your goal is to agree on future behaviors, and that emotions will tend to follow those behaviors. So that's secret number one.